Good morning, 6:47 on a Thursday morning, all session long on Thursdays. State Representative Paul Anderson joining us as he does and recap this session, which wrapped up on Monday. Paul, good morning to you. And you know what? It's a beautiful day, but it's getting late here in May, and you still got some field work going on, I imagine, huh?
Yeah, Joe, I got home, you know, Tuesday or after session Monday night when it wrapped up, and my son Luke is home here from a long ways away. He drove up to help and get the soybeans in. So we've had a couple of good days and need about three more days, hopefully, to get things done here. But, you know, talking farming for just a minute, we missed the last rain that the folks down south got dumped on. And we are getting dry, at least where I am here. The dust is flying, and we have wind every day, and low humidities, and the topsoil is really drying out quickly. And it's going to be a challenge, possibly, to get some of these soybeans down to moisture to germinate and to have them start the growing process. So, you know, that's the way it is this spring, and we have to pray for rain coming up one of these days. And if you deliver on that, Joe, get that forecast to show some rain, that would be a relief.
Well, I'll do what I can do, but it's amazing to know that folks need some moisture after the winter we had, Paul.
Yeah, it certainly is. And the snow usually fills up the line fences and road ditches. And we did, although I think a lot of it did soak in this spring. But, you know, we haven't had rain really here now for a couple of weeks. And we just need it to get things up and growing and to keep things growing and freshen things up a bit.
As you mentioned, session wrapping up on Monday. I know everything is being touted as one Minnesota here as things are getting signed this week, but I'm not sure if everybody feels that way, Paul.
No, that certainly is true, Joe. And talk to folks back here, and they just can't believe the amount and the size of tax increases that's going to be coming our way. The spending appetite was huge by the DFL this year. They had the trifecta, and they feel they had a mandate to totally change and revamp Minnesota. They grew our state budget by an astounding 40%. That's a huge figure to raise your budget by in one biennium. Taxes, there's going to be a gas tax increase. It's going to be now tagged to inflation, estimating about a 3 to 4 cent increase right away in the gas tax. There's a tax on your Amazon delivery, although it was revamped somewhat. It has dropped down to 50 cents on deliveries, now over $100, so not quite as gutsy as it was before. But, boy, they must have sat up nights thinking of different taxes that they could raise, and they did. So about $10 billion in tax increases. And in the tax bill, Joe, that got passed, the tax increases amount to about $2.5 billion. The biggest one we're all going to see are increases in the license tab fees, and they're also kicking up when you buy a vehicle now. The tax had been 6.5%. Now it's going to be increased up to 6.875%, the same as the tax on all other purchases that are subject to sales tax. So, yeah, a lot of spending, a lot of new taxes. But that's the way it ended here on Monday night, Joe.
You know, as folks read headlines, we, you know, periodically see historical tax cuts, but I'm sure there is tax cuts, but things even out. If not, you know, as you mentioned, the increases outweigh what they're saving on the other end.
Yeah, there was discussion, you know, a lot of folks concerned about the rising value of their homes, taxes going up partially because of that. There will be a change to what's called the market value exclusion, which is going to increase the numbers that limited what that state credit could be. So that's going to help some folks with some higher valued homes. The ag homestead also was increased for farmland. That's going up now to $3.5 million, which is a pretty hefty increase. It was $1.9 million. So that much value in farmland now will be taxed at that homestead rate, which is a 0.5%. And then above that, it's going to be at the full 1% rate. So there were a few good things that were done. But overall, well, I should mention, Joe, the last night of session, you know, things had been, you know, frustrating for Republicans all session. But that last night, There was an agreement made with bonding and with nursing home funding. So Republicans succeeded in getting a $300 million increase for nursing homes, which really put kind of a good ending on the session Monday night. It was passed quickly, and the entire chamber stood up and applauded when the nursing home bill got passed to give our homes some badly needed additional funding. And that money will start coming to the nursing homes, I believe, by July 1st of this year.
I'm glad you shed light on that, too, because I think a lot of folks are maybe not sure how that all works, how the state helps out nursing homes, even though, obviously, if you have a family member there, you have to pay a bill. But it's mostly funded by the state, correct?
Yeah, the state sets what's called reimbursement rates. And for those that don't have any assets left, the state picks up the charge. But Minnesota has what's called equalization, where a person on private pay cannot pay any more than somebody that's on the state docket, for example. So with this increase, I think rates are going to go up something like $12 a day. So private pay folks will see that increase as well. But the increase was needed. Nursing homes were in pretty tenuous condition financially, both in trying to attract and keep people to work there and just their financial well-being. So, yeah, a big boost for nursing homes. And that was, I think, one of our priorities. That, along with taking away the tax on Social Security, which totally didn't happen either, but that was a win, I think, for Minnesota to get that funding for nursing homes.
State Representative Paul Anderson joining us. Finally, as well, on the ETAB and charitable gambling, did you hear a lot from groups in your area, Paul?
Well, we sure did. A lot of folks in our towns in the area, you know, firemen, baseball associations, whatever, that have charitable gambling, were concerned about the change that's made. But the change is not going to take effect immediately. It's going to be 18 months down the road, which gives us time to try to come up with something else. But it changes the way the electronic pull tabs are played. Instead of opening up, you know, all of the whatever they play the pull tab. I haven't done much of it, to be honest, but some folks say they look too much like a slot machine, which goes back on the agreement with the tribes back many, many years ago. But a lot of concern. There was a slight tax decrease for the charities, so that's a positive. But again, a lot of concern, and that did pass, where these the e-pull tabs, that certain feature that opens up more windows at one time is going to be turned off. But it won't happen right away, and hopefully we can come back and revisit that and make some changes before that takes effect. And these e-pull tabs will change again.
A little irony there, because it was mostly developed to help pay for the Viking stadium, and now that the stadium was paid off early, now it seems like, oh, we'll just kind of take that back now.
That's a good point. Yeah. The stadium actually is going to be paid off 20 years early. So just an amazing acceptance of this e-pull tabs to generate the money to do that. And, yeah, the timing is a little bit suspect, although this was talked about 2 years ago as well. The tribe's not happy with the way that the e-pull tabs had taken off. And I don't know if they feel the sense of competition or what's happening. But finally this time, under DFL control in the House and the Senate, they got that bill passed. That's going to make the change in pull tabs. But, again, there's always hope, because it won't take effect immediately.
And Paul, as well, regarding like public safety, I know going into session, that seemed to be a big concern for a lot of folks in greater Minnesota, just general safety and crime and stuff. Do you feel there was a lot done in that realm here during the session?
Well, not a lot of money given to law enforcement per se. There was a lot of money put into what was called violence arresters, if you can believe a term like that. And that's going to be put into effect more in the metro areas. And, you know, it doesn't seem safe down there. I live in St. Paul during the week, and nighttime is different. And, you know, aside from the public safety aspect of a couple of gun control measures that passed, one was the red flag law, and the other calls for more background checks on all types of gun transfers. So those were passed. public safety, we feel not a lot done for what we would call traditional law enforcement. So is it going to help? I don't know. We'll see. But the crime rates continue to be extremely high in the metro area, especially in Minneapolis with carjackings, things like that. So we hope and pray that things settle down and those areas become safer, but not a lot of support or financial incentives for police per se, like Minneapolis Police Department, in this bill.
Did I hear we're getting another train going up to Duluth now too, Paul?
Oh my goodness, Joe, I had forgotten about that. Yeah, it's you know, it's about $200 million for a train to Duluth, and they're getting some federal money, which is the big carrot out there. But what we heard was this is supposed to be a high-speed train, you know, like 90 or 100 miles an hour, but going over existing rail lines, and the actual railroad folks tell us that those lines aren't built yet to handle a high-speed train. So they're thinking that the money put aside for this will, again, be very short. It won't be enough to do what they say they're going to do. And also another short line up to the northern suburbs before even the Southwest Light Rail was done. So, yeah, it seems like the appetite for rail traffic, too, is insatiable. And also discussion about extending the North Star up to St. Cloud when that rail line is losing money. Ridership is extremely down on that North Star line, but a study to do more on that one as well. So, yeah, there's an infatuation with railroads, but it doesn't seem to be working out financially, but we just keep plowing ahead with that as well.
Yeah, some good background there, Paul. It's not self-sustaining. It never has been, right?
No, it hasn't. And the state subsidy for somebody riding the North Star train in from Anoka, for example, somebody said we could buy each of those people a Mercedes-Benz car, and we'd be better ahead, money ahead, than the subsidizing a train every day, because the cost just doesn't come anywhere close to covering. The fares taken in doesn't come close to covering the cost of the operation of those lines.
State Representative Paul Anderson joining us. Paul, we're going to let you back to work. Make sure you make that summer sausage sandwich. Take a little Debbie cake roll for a snack in the tractor today, and have a good day in the field, okay?
Well, very good, Joe. We're going to get at it here and get going, and we hope all farmers are having a safe spring. That of course, is number one. Be careful, be safe. We sometimes get in a hurry, but always think about that safety, and good luck to everybody trying to finish up their spring planning. And then we'll all pray for rain when the planning gets done. So thank you much, Joe. It's been a good year. I've enjoyed talking with you, and you have a good summer as well.
Yeah, you too. Sounds good, Paul. We'll stay in touch. State Representative Paul Anderson joining us this morning.